Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with you, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm having a really blessed day, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
For the third time, I'm doing awesome.
Yeah, well, praise God for being able to record and re-record. We actually are excited to announce we are in our new studio. We have been trying, we've been telling you guys about it. I know you guys have already watched the Bethel series, but a lot of you guys that we did, you watched our John Steingard answering objections, which are common atheistic objections that we answered. We've done two live Q&As as well. So we've really been doing a lot of stuff in the studio, but we were in this little cramped area in Tony's office, which I think we posted a picture about it as well. And now we're sitting here with all this room, and so Joe's kicking mics. It's going crazy in here.
Start the show three times.
Yeah, which is the first for us. Usually it's just one problem. It's usually me. So it was good to have it fixed.
But I used to all this room in here, man.
But we are really blessed, and you know, we hope that with the whole Bethel series, it's interesting that the topic has come up because in our Bethel series, we exposed many different teachers for who they were, the false teachers that they are, and some hopefully eventually with all our, we've been praying a lot for them, and hopefully someday there were false teachers. And that's been a question that's come up a ton, and we actually posted about it because I wanted to see what sort of reaction that people were having. And I was looking at, you know, and posted an article that from Christian News Network that talked about the fact that Todd White did this sermon. And on this sermon, he explained to whoever he's teaching, this class that he was teaching, he explained to them that, hey, I haven't really been teaching the gospel for 16 years. He made it sound like he forgot it when he first came to the Lord, and now he's kind of remembering now that he's reading Spurgeon and Whitfield and Ray Comfort, and he gave the entire audience a good person test. And I know that for me, I saw a ton of people online, especially from the Reform camp, that have come out against Todd White in the past. And they were posting about this, and they were like, hey, check it out, Todd White preaching, this is awesome, which we want to take a look. And this is one of the things as a ministry where we try to not toe a line, but in the sense that make sure that we're biblical about something, that we preach the kindness and severity. And when we look at a topic, just as we did with Kanye West, where we said, hey, guys, don't get too excited here. I mean, these are good statements, but don't get too excited. Let's let the fruit bear it out. And some people just don't typically do that. And then there's also the other flip side of the coin, which is pretty much, well, they can never be saved, so don't worry about anything they're saying. And we don't want to take either of those routes. We want to look at it biblically. So, Joe, I know that you've listened to Todd White's teaching. I listened, Tony listened. We've all listened to Todd White's teaching that he did. And we've also listened to a lot of Todd White prior to this, hours and hours. In fact, I did the show on 511 News. Todd White rejects the gospel when he objected to listening to the American gospel that was sent to him and a letter written by Costi Hinz. So with all that, Joe, you heard the teaching, you know of Todd White, and I know you're going to go through some of that stuff because it is important to bear that out as well. But what did you think about the teaching? What do you think about all this? Are we saying, hey, he's a brother in Christ, welcome him into the church, he should go and pastor? Are we saying, let's hold the brakes, where are we at?
Yeah, I don't quite feel like being Barnabas at this point as he was with Saul, when he became the Apostle Paul, and he came and said, hey, I mean, he's the son of encouragement, you know, I try to be an encouraging guy, I love people, but I'm also very protective of the Lord's truth, his reputation, who he is, the gospel. So if I was convinced, you know, like, wow, this guy's so repentant, and he's, you know, he's face down before God, he's so hurt because of all the people he's led astray, and if it was just over that one area, the gospel's huge, right, but there's so many other areas we have to look at, we have to wait on with regard to Todd White. So I'm thankful. I'm incredibly thankful that he's come out, because how often does someone come out and actually say, hey, you know what, I've been preaching a false gospel for X amount of years, you know, since I got saved, and then trying to publicly, you know, change his, I mean, before the public, basically saying, hey, I've been preaching a false gospel. I've been a false teacher regarding the gospel. I want to make it right now. So that's all incredibly commendable. However, it's not going to be commendable in the end if he doesn't address a lot of the other, and we're not talking about straight at gnats here. We're talking about a lot of other false teachings that he has that are outside the pale of Christianity, aside from his gospel presentation. And when he's saying he presented a false gospel, I think a lot of his emphasis was a false gospel in the context of not bringing people under the conviction of sin. I always tell people they're amazing, they're good people, and so forth, and kind of, you know, Jesus has a good plan for your life kind of gospel, which doesn't cause, you know, bring forth the fruit of repentance and true salvation. So it's kind of interesting. We'll have to see where he goes, and I think we should explore some of the areas where he still has need to publicly repent in. And when I look at some of the errors that he's involved in, it's going to be a grueling deal for him. He's going to actually have to just, you know, and now's the time to do it. So now I pray, Father, in your son's name, convict him to the nth degree that he needs to be convicted to turn. Because this is the man who, keep in mind, one of his false teachings was, you know, absolute sinless perfection. So when you feel like you're sinless, that you're perfect, it's hard to recognize that you're wrong in the area and actually repent of it. So now that he's acknowledging that he's actually preached a false gospel, we have the opportunity, hopefully, to where he'll acknowledge that he's off in other areas. In fact, let me give you a couple quotes in regard to his teaching of sinless perfectionism. He literally says things like, you know, that he came and gave me a pure heart, and I never violated it with anything. So Bible talks about, you know, saying you have a pure heart, but then he goes on to say, in the same sentence, I've never violated this pure heart with anything. So to say that you have a pure heart and there's been no single violation of that, he also says you can actually have the word so strong in your heart that you never slip. And he says, for 13 years, I've never looked lustfully with lust at a woman, you know, end quote. So to say that he's, you know, and he's made many, many such statements, you know, we don't have time to go over them all. In fact, you know what, when I was looking at a lot of the stuff he's into and just jotting some of it down that I thought we should talk about, I thought, man, I don't have room. We don't have time.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Because there's so many false teachings he's involved in. So on one hand, the Bible says love hopes all things. And it breaks my heart when we see, you know, someone moving in the right direction, and then we make two fatal errors. Oh, because they've cleaned up this area, that means they're right with God. Remember Benny Hinn for a while was saying,
I was going to bring that out. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I repent of, you know, preaching this prosperity gospel and the whole thousand seed and all. And then what was it? Just recently?
Last week.
Was it last week?
Last week.
Wow, man, he's back at the same thing.
Maybe,
you know?
2 weeks after you hear this recording, but yeah.
Yeah, and he actually has been teaching the prosperity stuff since he said he repented of it 100%. As well. But then he's actually doing the very specific thing he repented of. So on one hand, you got to be really careful not to say because someone makes some kind of statement, man, they're right on with God now. They love Jesus. They've recognized the error. When you know, we're looking at one false teaching among many. The scriptures say very clearly, and I think it's important that we understand this, when you say that you're without sin, that you're pure, that, you know, and so forth, and that, you know, you have never violated your heart, a pure heart, in 13 years or whatever. He says in 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 10, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So the scriptures say that you're basically bearing false witness against God, stating, because he's the one that says we're sinners. And here in the context of 1 John chapter 1, when I read those texts, we're talking about believers. If we say, born again believers, that we are without sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. So it's very, very important that as believers, even on our best day, our very best day, and I tell people, I've dealt with this, you know, people that feel like they've become sinless at a certain point in ministry. You just come across them once in a blue moon. And I'll let them know. I say, hey, because I pray the Lord's Prayer a lot. You know, I don't pray it, you know, repetitiously, but I'll pray that same prayer. Sometimes, like this morning, I probably prayed through the Lord's Prayer for about 15-20 minutes.
It's a language of your life.
Yeah, yeah, our Father, yeah. Who art in heaven, I glorify
you
him.
Make his name
you're
holy,
my Father, yeah. Hallowed be your name, Lord, and just praising him, and then I move on. And when you get to the part where forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, even if you can't think of anything, you know you are not perfect yet. You know that on your best day, you're still not exactly like Jesus, and you fall short of God's glory. So I think that's imperative that we understand that. And I say, hey, to somebody who says those things I've used this before, Jesus says, to love one another as he's loved us.
Mm-hmm.
That nails me because I pray, God, help me love just perfectly and just 100%, And you know what? I know every day I can love more. I can show people more love in some way, So when Todd White is loving perfectly like Jesus loved, and by the way, he's saying this whole thing while he's admitting, while he's saying he's perfect, he's preaching a false gospel, sending people to hell, okay? So obviously the perfectionism thing, it wasn't happening.
Yeah, no, 100%. And this is one of the things that I think is great to hash out here is that, yeah, if you listen to that message, given the good person test and reading from, it's interesting, he's reading from the book from Ray Comfort, God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. And I was just wondering, if he grabbed that book on accident, not knowing what he was getting himself into, so to speak. But there's been a verse that I've considered a ton in my walk with Christ. It's actually mentioned both in Matthew as well as Luke. And it has to do with first sitting down and counting the cost, and in the context of picking up your cross and carrying it daily if you're going to follow Jesus. And this is something that I hope, if he really is coming into conviction, I know he's crying a lot during the sermon and all that. I don't know how much of a showman he is, because some of that stuff, you kind of see that before. In his other stuff. But you see this, and I'm like, you realize you're going to have to count the cost. So many of the things you're talking about and going to talk about, so I won't bury that lead just yet. Many of those things, he's going to have to count the cost and see if he has enough to finish the job, because it's not just, I haven't been preaching the full gospel. It's, I've been preaching a false gospel that saves no one. And I've also been lying and a charlatan and performing, parlor magic tricks.
Yeah, that's a huge one right
people.
There.
And so
that's important. What you said right there is huge, because he's actually admitted that he's been a con artist in the past. So you want to hope that this isn't part of his continuing con artistry. If it is, he's been very successful at it. So we also have to say, okay, he could do some things that could pull it off. What we'll do is we'll see if he's consistent. If he's humbling himself. Jesus said you got to humble yourself and become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to admit that means to relinquish all your rights, Surrender fully to the Lord. And that means if you're doing that you're going to take stock of your life and say, hey, am I deceiving people? And isn't there been a habit that I've, and with Todd White, when he talks about having been a con artist in the past, when I see him doing the leg stretching, and I just saw some videos of that recently.
Yeah, we just played it on our Bethel series. It's on episode 2, Bethel and Friends Contagion.
I saw 2 or 3 this morning, he, it's not like he just prays or he just lays hands. He starts twisting their legs and then he starts pointing the toes in a certain direction so one heel sticks out longer, and then it looks like he pretends he's stretching this other leg over here while he's actually straightening this leg, this foot out that he just contorted, and all of a sudden it's starting to look even, and it takes minutes. He goes through this process for minutes, and I thought, oh boy, this is just so ridiculous and so sad, because how many people, I saw one video where he's claiming to heal this gal of, I'm not going to get all the so-called healings, but one of the things he does that really bothered me was you hear him blatantly talk about this knee problem he had with his meniscus. He tore his meniscus, and I have a torn meniscus right now. I'm in my, 56, turning 57 pretty soon. And first time I've had a serious knee injury. It's not that serious. I get around, I'm fine and everything. I could even sprint still, but I want to be able to play football, cut left, cut right, and all that stuff. And I'm like, I want to be able to hike in my, my guy's like, no, you can't do the slanted stuff and you can't do that and this. I'm like, the surgery's supposed to be like 45 minutes, something. Maybe I'll go in it. And I say, Lord, if you want to heal me, great, So I know what it means. It's kind of funny. So when I'm listening on this video, he's saying, yeah, you know what? The Lord didn't heal me, He had to get operated on. He goes, yeah, the Lord didn't heal me, And then there's other places where he says, the Lord healed him of his meniscus tear and he totally healed him. And I'm like, man, you're saying two totally diametrically opposed things. So I thought, how does he reconcile that? And then he does. Oh yeah,
I gotta hear this. I haven't seen this one. And I've watched a lot of his teaching, by the way.
He reconciles it by saying, well, I went into this, you know, the doctor that's dealing my knee, the surgeon, and he's saying, you got a torn meniscus, you need a surgery, the MRI, da, 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 da. And he's like, well, the Lord told me, you know, he healed me, you know. He's thinking to himself, which contradicts, by the way, the fact that he said the Lord didn't heal him, right? But he's saying, so he can't even get out of that one. He says, well, the Lord told me, but the Lord whispered to me that, you know, maybe says it's still a small voice. He uses that language a lot. The Lord told me, you know, get the operation anyway. I was like, what, Lord? You healed me. No, get it because you could be a witness to this guy. Because this guy's a non-believer, but he's really a child of God.
That's so ridiculous.
Which is kind of weird. He's non-believer, but he's really a child of God. And you'd be a witness
that's
to this guy.
That's new age stuff right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of weird stuff going on that. So he's like, you know what? So I thought, you know what? I'll go through the surgery so I could be a witness to this guy. You know? And then he talks about going through the surgery, and then the surgeon wants him to go through physical therapy. Obviously, the surgeon didn't feel he was healed when he saw it, you know? And then he says, well, I'll go through physical therapy, you know, because then, you know, and when I went through my surgery, I was groggy, but I told the nurse, do you have a migraine headache? And prayed for her, and God healed her headache, you know? So look how God used me with, and I'm like, what in the world, man? And then he goes through physical therapy, and he says he's able to minister to other people. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man, you're just a
full but ministering the false gospel, so.
Yeah, exactly, at the same time, you know? So he's basically saying, and he says flat out, God didn't heal me, you know, of that. Later on, oh, God healed me, but, you know, I got surgery anyway. And it was to be a witness to people and go. And I'm like, Lord God, this is, so he's a charlatan in the past. Now, if there's true repentance, as you said, Chad, which is my conviction, and I know yours as well, Tony, mm-hmm. he's going to have to come clean on these things. He's going to have to say, yeah. You know what? I've been a liar, man. I've been a fraud. And he's get on his face before God. And pull himself, you know, we talked about this last night.
Yeah.
He needs to pull himself out of ministry, you know, at least any kind of pastoral oversight.
Yes.
You know, and not, you know, ministering to people on that kind of level.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's really, it's so strange when you see these things and you have the followers of Todd White, and we got contacted by a couple of them as well after this, you know, repentance on here. I'm like, hey, we literally had someone say, I've never found a flaw in his teaching. I've been listening to him for 7 years. And I'm like, he's the one who found the flaw. Like
the false gospel.
He found a, for 16 years.
That's crucible stuff.
He says he felt like he just met Jesus again. And he's reading, and it's so interesting because this is the elementary principles of Christ. Like these are like the very elementary, like what is the gospel immediately? And, you know, we were talking about this at the fire when it come around the fire last night. Joe had done a teaching. You guys can check it out on Blessed Hope Chapel's YouTube channel or Facebook page. He actually did it from his backyard. And so afterwards we had a little fire, talked a little theology with some people. And then we were talking specifically about he's moving these guys' legs, you know, and he knows what he's doing. And I'm like, is it a tahiyya thing like in Islam where he's like, they're like, hey, if you got to, you can lie people into being Islamic. Is it you think you're going to, you know, bear your bad tree is going to bear good fruit? You know, if you deceitfully tell them they're getting healed in this way. And so, like you said, that is a big key to me, very similar to Zacchaeus when he repented, right? I'm not saying that, you know, he knows exactly how much money he's brought in over this time and he's going to have to pay it, you know, twofold or whatever. But what I'm saying is that he was a charlatan without a doubt. So it's more than just, hey, I was preaching a false gospel. It's now I need to go and make amends for the things that I've done because guess what? I've literally been lying to people. And what about his connection with Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn?
Yeah, we should get into that in a minute too. But
okay,
a little bit more on the healing real quick is biblical healings. When somebody's healed, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was blind, but now I see, you know?
Yeah.
Even the one guy that Jesus heals partway, he heals his eyes, but he doesn't heal his brain because he sees everything upside down, which is a phenomenon that takes place if you've been blind since your birth because your brain never learned to turn things around, which by the way shows how medical science can verify even one of Jesus' healings because he takes him, he heals his eyes and the guy has this,
trees,
you know,
are upside
this
down,
dysphoria, yeah. You know, yep. And he can't see right. And then he takes him aside and then he heals him again. Well, the second time was his brain. He put everything right side up. But it's interesting in the scripture. I mean, it wasn't though they were disputing Jesus' teachings or healings, you know, it's like, okay, there's that guy Lazarus over there that he rose from the dead. Let's try to say, was he really dead? No, they knew he was really dead. They wanted to kill him. Okay. They're like, let's kill off the evidence, you know? So with these guys, it's like these silly kind of, it would be laughable if it wasn't so sad. But yeah, I think that's something we need to deal with as well as he claims that Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland were his spiritual fathers.
Spiritual fathers, yeah.
His mentors. And these guys are arch heretics, both of them talk about God's power is like witchcraft, New Age type stuff.
Yeah, go check out our Bethel stuff because yeah, we got into
those guys there.
We don't have a lot of time, but you guys can check them out.
Yeah. So though, and also he, which is really interesting. Speaking of Bethel, we talked about a huge arch heretic named William Branham.
Yeah.
And he's also into William Branham, and he encourages people to check out William Branham and praises William Branham. He denied the Trinity. Just we play that in our Bethel series. Just flat out says it's of the devil, you know. And these guys are praising wicked, demonically possessed, false teachers. In fact, William Branham, he was doing joint healing services with Jim Jones, and he helped Jim Jones get his start.
Jonestown,
yeah, Jonestown, about
the Jonestown massacre.
900 people killed. He led them to suicide. You know,
shoving needles into babies to murder them.
Absolutely wicked. Yeah. I've got an interesting quote from him here as well. I'm talking about uniting with the Catholic Church.
Is this Todd White?
Todd White says, right. "I believe the Catholic Church and the Christian Church are going to come together," and everybody's applauding. And he's praying for a guy with a Roman Catholic clerical collar. And the crowd's going crazy. I'm like, has anybody heard of the Protestant Reformation? Has anybody realized how much blood was spilled so we could keep the Word of God, in print where people could hear it, so we could preach the true gospel? Does he realize that, well, he himself has admitted he's been preaching a false gospel, so will he come out and say, hey, I'm not calling for unity between us and the Catholics and join together in one church? Because they have a false gospel. They teach that we're saved not purely by God's grace through faith, but we also have these meritorious works that contribute to God's acceptance of us, and we earn our salvation. We can pay for our venial sins. Keeping the sacraments earns our way into heaven and what have you. So there's a lot of things that we need to consider in regard to Todd White. His false healings, his false gospel he's mentioned, but sinless perfectionism, ecumenism with Roman Catholicism, his association, birds of a feather flocking together with false teachers. So we want to be very, very grateful that there's a move, it appears. And it's kind of interesting because, as we were talking about last night, Chad, you had mentioned that it's kind of interesting, though, that he's actually reading people that are challenging his beliefs and where he stood on his belief in this false gospel.
Yeah.
And that's further than a lot. So it doesn't sound like he's just giving lip service, but because he's been such a dyed-in-the-wool, wolf in sheep's clothing for so long, we have to also wait and see. And time will tell. I mean, if he starts dealing with these areas and saying, and he even starts dealing with them a bit where he's like really trying to grasp with where he was off. And because I'm not going to say, hey, I'm not saying, well, unless tomorrow he names all these things I repent of all of them 100%. I'm not going to say he's a total fraud. Right now he is until he repents of these things. But at the same time, I'm going to be patient, pray for him, give him some time. We need to show some grace here too. But we need to be wise, and we need to have our head on a swivel, be sober, and be vigilant, because the enemy is very real.
And I can prove that's a biblical concept to do it that way, because specifically we are told that this happened with Paul the apostle, because in Galatians chapter 1 we're told it took him 3 years before going to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles, and then another 14 after that.
Yes, amen.
So
Barnabas finally came in.
Yeah, amen. And that's
go
where
full
Barnabas,
circle.
Yeah, and he helped out, right? He showed him his testimony first, right? So I think about it that way, like, hey guys, this is a biblical way of looking at it. Yes, love hopes all things. So we do hope. And when we pray for false prophets, which we specifically, before we did the Bethel series and other days, obviously we've had, and right before we did this show, before we did my show earlier today as well, we prayed specifically for Todd White and for the other false prophets that we've exposed in the past. And we don't say those prayers thinking, yeah, God can never save them, but I'm going to say it anyways. It's no, we want to see these people saved, but we're very cautious, especially with the baggage. And we want to see the 2 Corinthians 7 repentance, not the bad one mentioned.
Amen. The godly sorrow that leads to repentance.
We want the godly sorrow that leads to repentance, where he points out and says, I can't believe. And hey, he'd be a perfect, you talked about, right, stepping down from any sort of leadership ministry, right? Obviously, if he's out sharing the gospel on the streets, not to film it to show everyone and do it for his own views and money, but to say, hey, I want to go out and share the gospel now. I actually have the true gospel. What I was preaching was false. That's entirely different than, someone, him going up and being like, I'm going to be a pastor. And multiple people have already called him out, like, hey, step down from any pastoral ministry if you're doing that.
First Timothy 3, right?
And a new convert, right?
Yeah.
And if he's a new, amen.
And even with evangelism, he's got to renounce these other things,
Exactly.
Should renounce the other teachers that he supported that we just
talked about.
Absolutely,
because he's pointed people to these teachers over and over again. Mm-hmm. He has a huge following. So these people that are following him are into a lot of these other teachers. Another heresy he's involved in is the kenosis heresy. The kenosis, if you understand it biblically, because it's a word that's translated from the Greek where it speaks of Jesus emptying himself and taking on the form of a servant, becoming a man, and dying on the cross in Philippians. But he was mentored much by a guy by the name of Dan Mueller. And Mueller and him both have taught that Jesus, you know, became a man, and, you know, Mueller emphasizes that he wasn't God anymore, you know, that he's just man. And a lot of White's sermons have repeated a lot of the rhetoric that he was only a man. And in fact, he actually says that he was just a man who was made in God's image. Jesus wasn't made in God's image. That's the Arian heresy, you know, and the Arian heresy taught that Jesus was created. No, Jesus is God, and he became a man. He partook of human flesh. Okay, he's the exact representation of the Father's person, but he's co-equal with the Father, along with the Holy Spirit, person of the Holy Spirit, from all eternity past. So to say he was made in God's image and he's a man, and so what he does with the kenosis, much like Mueller, who mentored him, is emphasizing that, you know, he wasn't really God, he was just a man, and he did everything as a man and so forth. But the problem with this is you not only get into, and even if he wants to say, well, he was distinct from being God, he was man and God, there was a distinction, he wasn't really, but we need to understand this, he's God and man, fully God, fully man. Otherwise, if you teach that there were two separate persons in some way, then you're not only in the Arian heresy, now you're in the Nestorian heresy, you know, so you're getting a bunch of heresies. But you know what, the Bible is very clear that when Jesus was on earth, he didn't cease being God, okay? He was God and man. Today, he is still the God-man. In John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So really in the kenosis, it's not what, I mean, the whole question is, what is it that he emptied himself of? And we would say he emptied himself of his privilege of accepting all that worship in heaven and staying in heaven, because it says he didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he took upon himself the form of a man. He took humanity upon himself. But he didn't cease to be God when he became a man. Matthew 1:23, when he was during the incarnation, the virgin will conceive, a prophecy from Isaiah that's quoted in Matthew, and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means what, guys?
God with us.
Romans 1:3-4, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life, he was the descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Kurios, Yahweh. Colossians 2:9, for in Christ, all the fullness of divinity lives in bodily form. 1 Corinthians 2:8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. The one they crucified was the Lord of glory. He didn't become God again after his crucifixion and resurrection. Romans 9:5, these are the patriarchs from whom there of them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Acts 20:28, keep watch over yourselves in the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought. The church of God which he bought? Yes, the church of God which he, God, bought with his own blood. So you got to avoid all these heresies. He's teaching a different Jesus. He's taught a different gospel. He's repented of teaching a different Jesus. His association with false teachers. He needs to admit that he's not sinless and perfect. In fact, can prove right here he's not. God help him.
Yeah, he repented already, so he can't be, right?
So we pray, Father, in your son's name, that by your Holy Spirit, that you continue to convict Todd in these areas, and that he would come before you and truly be repentant in all these areas that he's been deceived in, and have true repentance and bring forth the fruit of righteousness. We sincerely cry out to you that you would reach him, that your heart would cry out to his heart, and your spirit would convict him. And Father, we pray he'd be brought to you fully and fully preach the true gospel, the true Christ, and the whole counsel of God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.